on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Good morning. Glad you're with us. In just 5 weeks, we will reach the one-year anniversary of the violence and uprising that crippled Baltimore after the funeral of Freddie Gray, who died while in police custody last April. Freddie Gray is now very much part of the story of Baltimore, a story that was reported nationally with varying degrees of accuracy and which has, without doubt, informed our image of ourselves as well as the image our city projects in the wider world. The ramifications of Freddie Gray's death for the city of Baltimore are many, as are ideas about the ways in which the city can and should respond to improve the conditions that led to the unrest. One of those ideas is to explore how Baltimore's sense of identity is informed by the narratives that have emerged after last year's violence. The University of Maryland Arts and Humanities Center for Synergy has teamed up with the Maryland Humanities Council, the UMBC Drescher Center and Imaging Research Center, the Enoch Pratt Library, and the Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance to think about the role of narrative in our post-Freddie Gray city, as the stories of people throughout the community are formed and shared. The first in a series of events called Baltimore Stories, Narratives and the Life of an American City, takes place Wednesday. My first two guests this morning are leading the charge in this effort. Dr. Sherry Parks is an associate dean at the College of Arts and Humanities in College Park and a frequent contributor to this program. Good to see you, Sherry.
Hi.
And Dr. Phoebe Stein is the executive director of the Maryland Humanities Council. Phoebe, good to see you as well.
Great to be here.
So, Sherry, this idea for this series of events that you're going to have over the next several months arose out of a thing you started a couple years ago. I attended several of them. They're really great. They're called Thinkathons.
Yes.
Tell us about a Thinkathon and how this morphed into what we're talking about this morning.
Well, in a Thinkathon, and we're actually planning the fourth one, which will happen in about 5 weeks, too, is a gathering of artists and humanists and cultural workers and social activists and funders who come together for a think and do day. And so we don't populate the items the community does, and we always have it at Westminster Hall at University of Maryland Baltimore. It's a beautiful sacred space, we still think. And at the end of the day, they've always been short-term and long-term outcomes that show how art and culture can be used to address the social challenges of our time. I mean, that's why we do it. And last year, it just so happened it was scheduled during the uprising, 2 days after the worst of the violence. And we stayed in place, and UMB stayed in place, and more than 120 people showed up. And this was one of the outcomes.
And remember, this is at a time that there were National Guard troops
right
on the streets downtown.
Yeah, it was during the uprising. So people showed up. Nobody knew who would show up. I mean, lots of people had registered, but people came that day and they worked really hard. And, you know, we had art and trauma people in place to help people think through things and feel through things because you were dredging up lots of difficult topics. And at the end of the day, there was someone from the National Endowment for the Humanities. And we knew she was there, but the idea is that you can't ask, you can't do an ask during a Thinkathon. And she stood up and said, you all should go for a public square grant. And NEH, National Endowment for the Humanities, had just announced 2 days before this brand new grant that would have the humanities out in the world. And I said to the group, well, that's a really great idea. Who wants to do that? And they looked back at me and said, well, you want to do that, which was true. I did want to do that. And that day, the major partners came up and said, we want in. And so Maryland Humanities Council and the Arts and Humanities Center for Synergy are the lead organizations, which is Phoebe and me.
Yeah.
But we, as you said, have major partners. There are many other partners. I mean, we will be holding, there'll be 20 events throughout the year. We'll be holding an event at MICA, at Coppin, at UB Blake, at some churches
right,
and certainly at libraries.
Yeah, and Phoebe, these are all in response to what happened last April, and this is the way that folks in the humanities, folks in the arts are responding, the same way that we have the political sector responding. I mean, just last week, the Democrats in the Assembly, cobbled together about a $290 mm-hmm. million dollar package of aid to the city mm-hmm. of Baltimore, includes mm-hmm. various things. I'm interested that some of the things that it includes are extended hours at the library and money for the parks, you know.
Right.
So, but this whole notion of talking about it is part of how the humanities and the arts are responding.
Absolutely. We really see our role at the Humanities Council as a convener and as an organization that can provide that space and opportunity to use the humanities to reflect, to exchange. The idea here is that history, literature, poetry, ethics, jurisprudence, right, talking about the law, can help us come together and start that conversation that can lead to solutions. So this is not job training. This is not necessarily performing arts. This is really this forum for the very important dialogue that we think needs to happen. And we see this as vitally important to moving forward. And that's really what our partnership with Sherry and the Center is about.
Yeah, and Sherry Parks, of course, your whole scholarly focus is people's narratives about what's going on in popular culture and going on, you know, politically, philosophically in our country, how we frame the stories of what happened in April of 2015 is crucially important to how we understand ourselves, isn't it?
It is. And what we noticed, several of us noticed, that during the uprising, Baltimore was having very sophisticated conversations about narrative with itself. So the students at Frederick Douglass were saying that...
That's the high school across the street from Mondawmin Mall.
Exactly. And many people assumed that the students who were... that the people that were looting were the students from the high school. And the students at Douglass said, we have to change the narrative. They used that word, about us, because that was not us. So Baltimore was having really sophisticated conversations, so it was not the role of the scholars and the artists to come in and teach Baltimore about narrative. But we did say, but we can help this conversation, and we can help how people understand how important narrative is in determining, and I don't use that word very often, determining how we think and talk about each other and how we act, and ways to make the narrative about Baltimore more inclusive and more diverse and more sophisticated, more reflective of the many voices that are here in the city.
Dr. Sherry Parks from the University of Maryland. Dr. Phoebe Stein is here as well. She's the director of the Maryland Humanities Council on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. And Phoebe, of course, the whole thing about narratives, and we see this play out on the political stage all the time, is that people are always bucking to be the dominant narrative. You know, either Trump wants to have his narrative or Clinton wants to have her narrative. You're talking about making all the narratives out there, making all the stories accessible to people, because
yes,
there's a whole lot of different things to talk about.
And accessible and relevant, right? So at the Humanities Council, we want to partner with other organizations and in the community. So just as Sherry said, we're not prescribing. We're not going into a community and saying you should be talking about this. It's the community members that are going to provide those narratives and teach us. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're all going to learn from each other. I often say that we're sort of in the ambiguity business, the gray area. And I think there's a lot of merit in that, moving away from the extremes of the black and white thinking.
Mm-hmm. And Sherry, how do you see, as a scholar and as a person who just really has her ear to the ground on this stuff all the time, how the narrative is starting to evolve now, you know, almost 1 year hence from the 27th of April last year?
Well, we started with the idea that Baltimore was already a much storied city, that there are lots of stories out there about Baltimore in the media and books and magazines. Many people around the world think they know Baltimore, and so it has a role in the public imagination. So we're using that both to look at Baltimore very specifically, but then there will be a website that will use Baltimore as a metaphor to help people think about race. And because of that, we want to make sure that we examine how these extra voices that stepped up and said, wait a minute, nobody's talking about us. Nobody's listening to me. And, I mean, certainly that was African-Americans, but there are other voices, too. The issue of social class certainly began to factor in a city where the default for black always was poor. People assumed if you were black, you were poor. And we began to get much more of a texture in the narratives around Baltimore in the last year.
For example, one of the things you're going to concentrate on is the role of women.
Yes.
And it's interesting how, you know, when we think back to how women's role played out in the civil rights movement in the 60s, how it's playing out now with places like, or with organizations like Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk about the role of music.
Yes.
So you're going to examine this from all sorts of different prisms.
Well, yes. In the previous civil rights movement, the voices of women and girls were actually suppressed. There were some, but we know now that they were suppressed. And in the uprising, the voices of women and girls were very, very prominent. And some of those people will be in some of these workshops. Notice that during the uprising, music did not play a prominent role until after the violent part, which is very unusual. Usually protests have music. And so we will look at that and then look at the roles that that music plays during protest movement.
Yeah, and you can kind of wonder what might have happened had music played a role earlier in the process.
Or what might not have happened.
Or what might not have happened. All right, well, it's going to be a really fascinating series of events, and I appreciate both of you guys coming by and
talking
about it.
So happy to be here.
Thank you, Tom.
Good to see you. Dr. Sherry Parks is an associate dean of the College of Arts and Humanities at the University of Maryland College Park. She's also the director of the Arts and Humanities Center for Synergy, and the author of a terrific book, by the way, called Fierce Angels, The Strong Black Woman in American Life and Culture, and, of course, a regular contributor to Maryland Morning. Dr. Phoebe Stein is the executive director of the Maryland Humanities Council and the host of Humanities Connection, which airs here on WYPR every Thursday afternoon during All Things Considered. The Baltimore Stories series begins Wednesday morning with television producer and author David Simon and Dr. Khalil Gibran Mohammed, the director of the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture in New York. That afternoon, Dr. Christopher Bonner, an historian at the University of Maryland, will lead a discussion about what Mr. Simon and Dr. Mohammed had to say in the morning. All starts at 9 o'clock in the morning at Westminster Hall on Fayette Street in West Baltimore. I also want to mention another event sponsored by the Maryland Humanities Council that will mark the year anniversary of the death of Freddie Gray. That's at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. It's called All Baltimore Voices, Stories About and Beyond the Unrest. It takes place on April 23rd. Come to wypr.org/Maryland Morning for details on all of these events. Coming up after a break for the news, another in our continuing conversations about the impact of race in this political season, Professor Eddie Glaw Jr. from Princeton University joins me to talk about his new book, Democracy in Black. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.